They're going to be putting it up. And we're going to go to Acts 16, amen? And this morning, I know my husband shared, but this month, to me, I don't take it lightly, but it's been 19 years that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I walked into Victory Outreach Pomona at the age of 20 years old, and God has been faithful to me. God has kept me, and I'm blessed. I walked in a single young woman of God. I was hurting, and I didn't even know I was hurting. That's the crazy part. But I came, and I was hurting. I had an emptiness in my life, and my job couldn't fulfill it. Relationships couldn't fulfill it. Money couldn't fulfill it. School couldn't fulfill it. Family couldn't fulfill it. But Jesus fulfilled my life, amen. And he has blessed me with an amazing husband and beautiful children. And I'm living my blessed life, amen. So the title of my message, it's so perfect. I had a whole different title, but as we were worshiping God, and I was watching those videos, the Lord just changed my title. And so the title of the message today is urgency. Urgency, amen. So I'm going to go ahead and read this and be patient with me because I've been trying to communicate these certain words that are in here. So we're going to read Acts 16, starting in verse 6, amen. It says, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north from the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there, pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. You can have your seats, amen? And this is the introduction. This was Apostle Paul, his second missionary journey in spreading the gospel and to strengthen the churches that he had previously visited. As they were traveling through different cities to minister, they turned north and thought of going into Asia. But the Holy Spirit kept them twice from entering to preach the gospel there. We don't know how the Holy Spirit prevented Paul and his companions to not go into Asia, but the Holy Spirit kept them from going that way and led them eventually a different way. The Bible says in verse 9 that during the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and pleading. Do you know what that means, to plead? It means to beg. And he was pleading with them for them to come over and to help them. So after Paul received the vision, the Bible says that they got ready at once and they left to Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach the gospel there. The word ready means to prepare. And then also there's another word that stood out to me where it says at once, at once. That word at once means immediately. When we read that part where they got ready at once and they left to Macedonia, it's an indication that they didn't waste time. Immediately they responded. At once, when God spoke to them, they moved, they answered, they stepped out. It was that now time. How many know, or not know, but how many of us have been coming to this church? Some of you might be here for the first time, and this might be maybe your first time in experiencing Christianity, coming into a Christian church. I came from a background of Catholic, and my grandma was coming to Victory Outreach Pomona, and that's how I started coming. So everything was brand new to me when I first came. But then there's many of us that are here, and many of us that this is our church, and we know that God has called us, and we're coming and coming and we're coming and we're hearing the word of God. Because how many know that the Lord is speaking? He's speaking loud and clear, right? I don't know about you, but I know that I've been hearing the voice of God from our founder. I've been hearing the voice of God when I've gone to different retreats, discipleships. I mean, God has been speaking loud and clear. My husband comes every Sunday, and he's speaking behind this pulpit, and God is using him to communicate a word direction for our church, for us. And we know that it's God, because we've been in tune what God is doing through Victory Outreach International. So God is speaking, but how many of us are responding? God is speaking, but how many of us are responding, stepping out, answering that call, saying yes to God? See, there was an urgency when you read this. When you really read this and you take time, see, Jesus wasn't just an ordinary man. Jesus was the Son of God. And he only had so much time here to do what God had called him to do. He felt and he sensed the urgency. He was not by himself. He was always with the disciples. There were always people following him. He was always doing signs and wonders and miracles and healing and praying and reaching people, because the time was now. Just like now, we feel it, we sense it, right? We feel that urgency. There is no time to wait. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, when Jesus touched my life, I felt that urgency. I came, and I was trying not to get saved. I really was trying not to get saved, because I had a plan. I was 20 years old, gonna be 21. I was gonna be ready to use my ID finally, right? But God had another plan for my life. And I thank God he had another plan for my life. I thank God that he interrupted my miserable life that I didn't even know that I was miserable. You know why I didn't know? Because I didn't know the life that I was living was leading me to hell. I didn't know that. I thought I was a good person. I thought I was, you know, I love Jesus. You know, my family, my grandma, she was a Christian. I came from a Catholic belief. So I knew about God, but I didn't know God. And then I walked into the church, and God showed me that he called me, that he separated my life. And you and I are here not just to be here. We're not here just to sit on these seats and have our Bibles and look great. And even though you look great, there are souls that are dying. There are people that you and I have to reach. How many of you have been hearing and sensing the urgency? How many of you have been hearing just in this last year? How many young people are dying? Souls are dying every moment and every second. As we sit here, as we're here, and there's nothing wrong with being here in the church. This is where we need to be. This is where we get fanned up, we get fired up, we get that flame. This is where we get stirred up, we get in challenge, we get provoked, we get our marching orders. But it doesn't stop here. What are we doing with what we're getting? What are we doing with what we're hearing from God week after week after week, month after month? What is it that God has to do to get us, the people of God, that he laid his life down? What does he have to do for us to do what he's called us to do, to respond? See, Paul got this vision. God gave Paul that vision. God gave Paul that vision. God spoke to Paul, and he went and he responded. He didn't wait. The Bible says immediately. Some of your Bible says immediately he responded. See, when God speaks to you, when God speaks to me, I know who I'm talking to, because you know what? I didn't respond for a long time. I answered the call of God. I said yes. I was here, but everybody's different. For me, it was fear. It was fear. It was doubt. It was like, God, did you really call me? God, I'm not good enough. God, I don't know how to talk. God this, God that. I had all these reasons. And I was here, and I was here, and I was loving people, and I tried my best to be the best example that I could have been. But I know that there were some times that I did waste time because I allowed that fear, the enemy, to rob me when I should have been speaking up or doing more. But that's why I share that with you. It's important that we respond to the call. It's no one's responsibility but ours. Your husband, your mom, your parents, or whoever it is, they can't make you want to respond. Each one of us are held accountable for our actions. There's this scripture. I want to read it. They're going to put it up. It's in James 4:17. See, one thing we need to know, whether we're responding or not, either way, we're responding. This scripture says, if anyone then knows the good they are to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Should I read that again? If anyone then knows the good they are to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. The word to do means, I'm still learning, okay? But I looked it up in the Greek. But the word is act. To do is to act. To act, to respond, to do something. Luke 12:47-48 reads, the servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. This was a warning to the disciples who knew the Lord's will, who had been told to watch for his coming, to prepare themselves and others for it. That will of the Lord includes the use of our gifts, our resources, our talents, our finances, our opportunities that God has given us. There's so much that we can't say we don't have. I don't know what to do. There's just that alone of what I shared is a lot right there. I was listening the other day to a message, and when I was studying, God reminded me of the message from last year. It was with our founder, Pastor Sonny, and he talked about last year. For those of you, you might have been there, but it was our multi-regional service, and he talked about last year about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he talked about how the time was short and that we have to sound the alarm because Jesus is coming back. And he talked about there's a sense of urgency, and he was talking about how there was doors that were wide open for our ministry. But one of the things he said was, as Christians, how we're going to be held accountable for what we did or did not do for God. We are going to be judged for our works and our service. Why do you think my husband and I, because when you have a relationship with God and you spend time with God, God speaks to you. And that's why my husband and I feel that urgency. It's not because we're hearing it from the leadership of our ministry, which that is a big reason, but we feel it. They spoke. They've done their part. We sense it. We feel it. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced something in your life that made you really think about life. You know, maybe death, maybe circumstances that made you really evaluate. Kind of like, you know, what people are going through in the world right now with Kobe Bryant, right? It's making people, you see that on the news. You see a lot of the celebrities, these people who have it all. And just like that, in a moment, in a second, his life was gone. And it makes you evaluate. He was young, strong, healthy, blessed, right? It makes you think, though, man, time is short. People are dying, right? Day after day, and here we are here. Can you turn this up just a little? I feel like I'm straining my voice a little. But it makes you think. It makes you really think about life. It makes you think about really what you are investing your life in, where your priorities are. It makes you think that, you know what? I don't have time to waste. The life that God has given me, the moments, the seconds, I gotta make them count. Just like our founder, Pastor Sonny, our founder, he's 80 years old, and he is really, really intentional right now and communicating what God is speaking, the direction of our ministry. And there's an urgency. I don't know if you feel it, and I pray that you do, but how many know that now is the time? And I want to go back to about Paul, because Paul, in that vision, Paul saw this man pleading with them to come to Macedonia. And that word plead means the action of making an emotional or earnest appeal to someone. You and I have been hearing the plead and the appeal to answer the call of God. You and I have been hearing the plead, how we need help to be able to get people to help us build, to be able to get people to help just do what God has called us to do as this church. It's really loud right here. We have to sense an urgency. We have an open door of opportunities to respond. The Lord has given us an allotted time of life. He's given us a certain amount of time to do what he's called us to do. See, Paul and Silas, they could have missed that opportunity of going to Macedonia if they had not responded at once. And like I said, what more, church? What more must we hear before we respond? As we continue in Acts 16, it starts in 13, but this is where Paul, he made his first evangelistic contact with a small group of women. And in Acts 13, on the Sabbath, it says, we went outside the city gate along the river where it was customary to find a place of prayer. After sitting down, we spoke to the women who had gathered there. Among those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. The Bible says the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. She and her whole household were saved. And what's interesting about this woman was that this city that she was from was a leading, influential city of Asia. So remember at the beginning when I opened up how Paul was forbidden. He was forbidden to go into Asia. So now he encounters this woman who came from Asia, but now was living in Macedonia. This was the beginning of when the gospel entered Europe and how the work of evangelizing Macedonia was started through the first convert, a woman named Lydia. And I say all this to say, this is what I'm trying to say through all that. This is an example how we see the gospel being spread throughout the world with simple and ordinary men and women that are willing to lay down their lives for people. In 1 John 3:16, if you want, you can turn there. They're going to have it on the screen. But the Word of God says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we are to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:10, so I am willing to endure anything if it brings salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those that God has chosen. How many of us are willing to endure anything? This is real, church. This is real. When you read and you read and you get in your word and you just meditate, these weren't people that were complacent. These weren't people that were just satisfied, them just being saved. I don't know about you, but I was on my way to hell, amen. And God interrupted my life. And God used people to tell me about Jesus Christ. And I thank God that there weren't people that were too busy for me. I thank God when I walked into the church, people loved me, people embraced me. It might have not been the whole church, but even if it was that one person, that second person, that one person made me stay. I remember I was so new to the things of God, and I remember I had this girl. She was a graduate from the women's home. And faithfully, every Friday, she would take me to the streets. She was an ex-prostitute. I couldn't even believe it. And every Friday, we were out there on those streets. We were witnessing. We were telling people about Jesus. She taught me how to witness, how to win a soul for Jesus Christ. I remember Tuesday nights, I would go with my youth leader. And I remember they would open up their house and we would just pray. We would play games. We would talk about Jesus. I would ask all kinds of questions. But you know what? I thank God that there were people that weren't too busy, that they were willing to sacrifice a Saturday. They were willing to sacrifice their Sundays, their Mondays, their Tuesdays. They weren't too busy. It wasn't the entire church. It just took one person to respond and to answer the call of God. And how many of us know that, man, thousands of years ago, there were people who were willing to lay down their lives and believed in the mission and carried the gospel throughout the world so that we could come to know Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today, because many have said yes, because many have responded. There are many that felt that urgency, that didn't feel good enough, just that them and their families were going to make it to heaven. But they seen that there was a need. They seen that there was so many hurting people. How many of you have a family member, a husband, a wife, or a child that's not saved, a co-worker? I pray that moves us. I pray that it never becomes just another day to us. Or when we heard this past Wednesday, the brother from the men's home, and how he shared what God has been doing in his life. I don't know about you, but that stuff still steers me. It still excites me. It still gets me passionate and on fire to want to answer the call of God upon my life. We have a window, a door of opportunity to do something now. If we don't, it's going to be missed. And going back, I want to think about Paul and Silas. What if they would have not responded at that moment when they were given that vision? What if they would have missed that opportunity? It's pretty heavy to think about it, that call to Macedonia is where they encountered their first convert in Europe. I didn't even know that. I was tripping out like, what? That was the first convert in Europe? Not only that, but she wasn't just an ordinary woman. See, God totally redirected their plan. They were going one way, and God led them a whole nother way. Because this woman, Lydia, she had influence. She wasn't ordinary to maybe people at that time. She was ordinary, but she was a woman of influence. She had a business, so that means she probably had employees working for her. She also was from a city that was located in part of Asia. So even though they weren't able to go to Asia, they still encountered this woman who originally came from Asia. So who knows, when she got saved and she had family and she told them about Jesus Christ, amen? So this story, it's pretty radical when you read about it. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't a mistake that Paul and his companions ended up there and reaching this one woman. And it reminds me of the story about the parable of the sower, and that's found in Mark chapter 4. And you can read it later for the sake of time. It's in verse 3 and 8. And it talks about how a farmer went out to sow his seed, and how he was scattering the seed. The seed fell on four different types of soil. The seed is the word of God, and the soil is how different ways that people's hearts respond to the gospel. Three of the seeds that the farmer sowed didn't take root in that soil, and it didn't produce fruit. But the fourth seed was the good seed. This represents someone who heard and received the word of God, and that seed took root and it grew. And the Bible says that good seed will grow and produce a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times more. And you and I don't know by our response and our obedience who we're going to reach. We don't know that one person like Lydia. She was one, but she had so much influence. But not only that, I can't help but to think about Pastor Sonny. If you really, I want to encourage you, if you want to know about our ministry, I want you to, when you get a chance, go visit our store, and you can get one of our books, Treasures Out of Darkness. And there was a man by the name of David Wilkerson, one man. And he reached Nicky Cruz. He reached a bunch of people. But one of the men he reached was Nicky Cruz and our founder, Pastor Sonny Arcanzoni. And it makes me think of that, of these type of men. They were ordinary men, but these ordinary people, men of God who said yes, who answered the call of God by one life. So many lives have been impacted through one man. One man. Don't tell me that we don't make a difference. Don't tell me that when you go to those streets, when you're inviting your coworker, you're inviting your family, you're inviting your schoolmates, that that's not going to make a difference. Don't tell me if you're in this church and you're a husband or you're a mom and you have children and you have influence in their life, that you, by answering the call of God, you living that life that Jesus called you to live, don't tell me that your life is not going to influence your family, your children. We are called to be a light, to make a difference, church. We're not called here just to sit here. God comes into our life. And if you're not saved today, I pray you feel the urgency that today is the day of salvation. You don't have to feel depressed. You don't have to feel anxiety. You don't have to feel sad. You don't have to feel empty or lost. There is a man by the name of Jesus Christ, and he is not a story, but he is alive, and he has died for you and I. He gave his life so that we could live. That's the reality. The wages of sin is death. It's not, there is, you know, middle ground. It's black or white. If you're not living for Jesus today, I question, I don't know you. But I knew I wasn't living for Jesus. So I knew after hearing the word of God, I had to respond. I was scared. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to reach my family. I wanted to tell my coworkers. I wanted to tell people that Jesus touched my life. I didn't know nothing about the Bible, but all I knew was God did something. And I walked in, and my life was never the same. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to know it all. Just say yes. Just respond. Let God do the work in your life. In John 15, 16 says, this is the Amplified Bible. It says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've appointed and placed and purposely planted you so that you would go and bear fruit. Keep on bearing, and that your fruit will be lasting. 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. God is good, amen. He's so faithful. God is a good God. He's a faithful God. And I'm grateful because I don't deserve to be where I'm at. I know that I don't, but I tell you that you might look at yourself and you might feel like, what can I offer God? You have a lot to offer God. And I feel this urgency because I've been hearing it. And there's only so much my husband and I could do. There's only so much of those who are saying yes to God already could do. But there's so many more of us. All it takes is your time. God gave you gifts. He gave you gifts for a reason, not just for your job or for you. He gave those gifts to you so you could use those gifts and help build the house of God. There's needs all over in this church. If you were to ask us, I could tell you what the need is for this church. There's so many more people that we have not reached yet. I don't feel good coming to church and knowing that there's so many more seats that we could fill for people who need to know who Jesus is. And then even our finances. Sometimes we got to get that out of our head. Like, what are they doing with my money? Or this is my money. That ain't your money. That's God's money. That is my money. I knew that when God saved me, that it was not my money. My job that I had, God gave me that job. God blessed me with a good job. All God asked from us is 10%. 10%. And we get to have, you know, the 90%. That's all we have to do is give God 10%. But some of us, we rob God of our finances. We rob God not giving our time. We're too busy. We rob God by not using the gifts that he gave us to help here in the church. But it's real easy, right, to say all the negative things. Sometimes there's people who could say all the negative things, but really, how are you helping? This is God's house. To me, I would be afraid to come against the house of God. This ain't even my house. This is God's house. There should be a reverence. This is holy ground. Do we understand how many people, for those who've been around, talking to those who've been around, there are people laid their lives down for this church. Not one person. Many, 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 many people laid their lives down so this church could be where it is today. Amen? And we got to be those that, you know what, we take this serious. This isn't religion. I serve God, or I thought I served God in a religious way. That's why when I came to the Lord, it took me a while because I said, you know what, God, when I give my life to you, I'm going to go all the way. And it's not because of me. It's been the grace of God that God has kept me, and I'm grateful because I have to stay close to God because there's so much that goes on in this world, so much that happens, and it tries to suck the life out of you. There's no time for a lot of things. Everybody's busy. I get it. So I got to be intentional with my time. I got to be intentional and making God a priority in my life. Amen. And one of the things, I wasn't going to share this, but I remember not too long ago, we were at the prayer summit, and Pastor Sonny was talking about people who are lukewarm, right? How many of you were there? So this, you know, it ain't coming for me. Amen. But he talked about lukewarmness, how it sickens the Lord. And most people who are lukewarm, they don't even see themselves lukewarm. And he talks about how little by little they start to drift away. And he talks about how there's a danger. Because sometimes you don't even realize it, but little by little by little by little by little, we drift away when God was first priority, when he was first center of our lives, and we gave our time, our finances, our gifts. And then it becomes like, nah, I'm cool. Let other people do it. Or let them step up. Or I've done it for so many years. But didn't we read in that scripture where it talked about keep on bearing fruit? So that talks about we don't stop. Even Pastor Ryan said it not too long ago in a training we had. And he said, even for those who've been around, and he's talked about, like, even if you've already given your best, keep giving your best. There's a whole new third wave. There's a brand new generation of people who don't know Jesus. And we can't write off of, well, 20 years ago I did this, 30 years ago I did that. No, but how many know that now is the time? And so he talked about being lukewarm. And he talked about how the signs, you'll know the signs because you start to lose interest in church life. You're disconnected from the body of Christ. There's things in your life that took priority over God. And he talked about all that. And I don't know about you. I'm going to go ahead and call up the worship team as they make their way up. See, God wants fruit. He wants productivity. It's all for God. It's not about just, oh, yeah, there's so many people. It's not about that. For God, it's about emptying out hell and filling up heaven. That's what it's about, church. It's not so we can be packed out just so we could look good. That's not what it's about. It's not so that we could have all this money and it just sits in a bank account. That's not what it's about when it has to do with our giving. We're limited. You know that? We're limited with when we don't have finances in the church. We're limited when it's only a handful of people who are giving their tithes. Like, you're putting a curse on your finances when you hold back and you don't give. God wants to bless you in this season. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, you're going to reap. If you're sowing in this now time, I'm going to tell you this right now because God spoke this. Whatever you are sowing in this now time, that's okay. Don't look to the person to your left or to the right if they're not doing it, but you do it. You do it because you know what? You know what's going to happen? By by you sowing, by you giving, by you stepping out, and you feel like, man, you know what, I don't have it all, but I'm doing with the little I have, I'm giving my all, you're going to reap in this now time. You're going to reap when you're going to those streets, and there might be two or three of you, when you're making phone calls to invite people to come to church, when you might be the only one coming to music ministry, worship practice, and you're like, man, there's a need. We need more people to play an instrument. There's people in this church that have gifts to sing, to play instruments. There's people in this church who are gifted to work with children. There's people in this church that have a gift to help in the admin. There's people who have gifts to help lift up the arms of my husband. Every time I come and I speak behind this pulpit and I have to prepare, I'm all messed up. But it's in a good way. It reminds me like how much more I want to help the man of God. How much more that I want to help the man of God. And there's people here, you're called to lift up his arms. You're called to stand next to him. Not to look good, but help him do the work of the ministry so that the man of God can preach. He comes week after week, and he lays his life down week after week. It don't matter how he feels, what's going on in his life, how chaotic his morning was. He comes, and he gives, and he pours his life out, and he's pouring into us. He's instructing us. He's being obedient to the voice of God. He's being obedient to our leader, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. He's just doing what God has called him to do. He's not gifted in every single way, but the little he has, he's given it to God. And there's men here in this church that are called to help him build, to help him work with people. And we sit here. And we don't do anything, but those that are doing it, those that are saying yes, those that are responding, those that have been answering that call, God is going to bless you. God is going to bless your finances. God is going to bless the time that you give, the gifts that you give. This is the now time. The harvest, it's here. People are ready. People are ready. All we got to do is answer the call of God. All we got to do is say yes. All we got to do is step out. All we got to do is open our mouths, and God does the rest. I don't know about you, but I've heard the Macedonia cry. I've heard the call. I see those United We Can videos. I see them, and I've seen myself the need in Canada, in Germany, they're in France, they're in Mexico, they're in Panama. There's a need in our own backyard. There's a need in your family. There's a need in your family, in your children's life, in this now generation. These kids are not meant to be caught up in anxiety and depression. They weren't called to be hooked on these meds. That wasn't God's will for their life. That wasn't God's will for no one's life. There's people strung out. Somebody's daughter who's giving her body out there. And we sit here. We sit here. We sit here. And we sit here. But that's not gonna be it no more. I'm telling you, God, not that he's ready, but there is. That wave is here. That wave is here in Pomona. And my husband's been sharing that God is doing a new thing, and God's doing a new thing, and we gotta be open. The saddest thing was with the children of Israel. They didn't enter the promised land because of unbelief. Unbelief kept them. It wasn't the sin of adultery. It wasn't the sin of murder, but it was unbelief. And God has spoken to you. God has spoken to me. We have a promise scripture. It's in Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. And it talks about how we're to enlarge, we're to stretch. And it talks about how God has given us the nations. It's right here. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. It says, do not spare. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. That to me doesn't show me that it's a time of being complacent and relaxed and comfortable. That shows me that it's a time of stretching, of growing, of giving and giving and giving. And this is that now time, church. Because the children of Israel, before that, during this time, they were barren. They were unproductive. There was no fruit. You know what it feels like to be barren? To be useless? You feel useless. You feel shame. That's what would happen. And it would bring just emptiness, frustration, anger. It brought all these emotions when someone who's barren. But this was a promise to God's people in Isaiah 54. This is our promise scripture. But this promise has not come to its fulfillment yet. And this was a promise to the children of Israel. It was a promise because God was getting ready to bring more. God was getting ready to bring increase. And this is our promise, church, whether you believe it or not, and I pray that that unbelief is not in this room. Get that unbelief out of here, because I know that God has spoken to my husband. God has spoken to me. God has spoken to this church when it first began. Take us out of the picture, okay? God spoke a word over this church years ago, right? So if you have any doubts, you have any unbelief, I hate to say, but that is not welcome here, because God is not a God that he would lie. God is a good God. He doesn't promise us and change his mind. And I pray this morning, if you feel the sense of urgency, if you're like me and you feel like, God, I gotta do something, these altar calls are open. If you hear that Macedonia call,